Welcome to the weekday podcast of Sugar Hill Church, a church that truly is the perfect place for folks who aren't. So whether you're exercising, driving, meditating, or just hanging out with us today, thanks.
Hey there, welcome to the weekday podcast. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. This is a chance for you to start, maybe even end, or maybe sustain the middle of your day with a little bit of encouragement. Hey, my name is Zach, and I get to serve as one of the pastors at Sugar Hill Church, and it is my privilege to be with you today, diving into the Gospel of John. We started this new series at Sugar Hill Church to kick off the new year called Fresh Start, diving into some teachings from the Gospel of John, and we've been following and tracking along with that in the weekday podcast as well. Today, we are diving into chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now, the cool thing about this is it's broken down into three little sections inside chapter 3, so it's easy to remember, right? Chapter 3, three small sections. The first two go together, and the third one is a little bit different, and we're going to dive in and take a look at those. So what is going on here in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John? Well, in our first section, in verses 1 through 15, this is a story about a guy named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the religious elite. He was a teacher, a ruler of the Jews. And this Nicodemus guy had been hearing about what Jesus was doing. So in verse 2, it says that he approaches Jesus, that he came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So right here off the bat, we get to see Nicodemus, a guy who's an important big deal, is approaching Jesus. He is compelled by all that Jesus has been doing to approach him, and he acknowledges him as a rabbi, as a teacher. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. There is no way that anybody could be doing the things that you're doing unless God was with him." So Jesus answers Nicodemus. He doesn't turn him away. He answers him, and he says this, and it confuses Nicodemus. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus is really confused by this. He says, "How in the world can somebody be born again? You were born once, you live, and you die. That is it. There is no second birth. What are you talking about?" So Jesus kind of unpacks this a little more for him, and he says, "You're not understanding me, Nicodemus." He says, "Not only is there a fleshly, earthly birth, a birth by water, as it talks about in this passage, there's also spiritual birth. There is spiritual birth in your heart, in your spirit. There is spiritual birth. And in order to experience the kingdom of God, you have to experience that. Don't be marveling at what I've said to you, you must be born again." So this is still confusing to Nicodemus. He said, "How in the world can this be true?" And Jesus responds again, and he says, kind of pokes at him here. He says, "Aren't you a great teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but yet you do not receive our testimony." So he goes on to explain a few more things to Nicodemus, and he ends this first section in verse 14 and 15 with this statement. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," going all the way back to an Old Testament passage, he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So Jesus is setting the stage here for Nicodemus for the second section of the Gospel of John in chapter 3. And this second section has one of the most widely quoted verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16. So Jesus continues on and he says this to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now, you've probably heard that passage before somewhere. Jesus is continuing his conversation with Nicodemus, and he is making one thing very clear. He is claiming that "I am the Messiah, the Son of God, and I haven't been sent here to condemn the world. I've been sent here to save the world, that you could experience this second birth, that you could be born again through your faith in me, and you will not perish, but you will have eternal life." And he continues to go on and explain this a little bit more to Nicodemus. But there's two big things that we're confronted with in this first two, in these first two sections of the Gospel of John in chapter 3. And the first is this, that we see Nicodemus was compelled by Jesus to approach him. Maybe he didn't do it in the best way. Maybe it wasn't a perfect approach coming by night, trying not to be seen with him. But yet he was so compelled that he got out of his comfort zone and he approached Jesus with his questions and with his doubts. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you need to take that same step and approach Jesus. And the good news is, the second thing that we can take from this section is that Jesus did not turn him away. I think sometimes we fear that as we approach Jesus, that somehow he is going to turn us away, that he knows our deepest, darkest secrets. He knows the things that we harbor in our soul and in our spirit, and that he is going to see that and he is going to turn us away. But that is not what he did for Nicodemus. He received him and he explained to him how to have life everlasting. The last section of chapter 3 in the Gospel of John is about this guy, John the Baptist. And he's a guy that we've talked about already in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, but he is a guy who was sent before Jesus to prepare the way. God had sent him to tell everyone about the coming Messiah, about this Jesus. Now, this is not the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, different person. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus. John the Apostle was recording all of these accounts. So it's important for us to remember that. Keep that in mind. I know it can be confusing. Lots of guys named John here. But John the Baptist is telling them, hey, I've been saying all these things about the coming Messiah. I am not the coming Messiah. When you see him, you're going to know. I am not him. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. But yet I'm bearing witness to you that I've been sent before him. And then he uses this illustration that's used in scripture a lot about the bride and the bridegroom, that God's people are like the bride and that Jesus is like the bridegroom, the one who they're eagerly waiting on. And John the Baptist says that he is standing there rejoicing greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Now Jesus, the bridegroom that he has been preparing the way for, is here. He is finally here. And then he says this in one of the more famous verses from this passage of scripture. He says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And he continues on in that passage to explain a little bit more about what's going on there. And John the Apostle explains some more things about Jesus and his relationship with God. But this is a profound, profound thing that we need to grasp out of this last section right here, that John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, to proclaim him, to tell people about the good news of Jesus, very much like you and I are. As followers of Jesus, we're sent out to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and he rejoiced in it, so much so that he said, my joy is now complete. When he finally was there with Jesus, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. I hope this has been an encouragement for you today, and it's so cool to be able to go through a gospel together, to go through a passage of scripture together, and just dive in and see what's there. I hope this has been helpful. Maybe it gave you a little new perspective on this passage of scripture. I would encourage you, dive into it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Find a Bible on your phone or at your house, and go through this section of scripture. I think you will be glad that you did. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Remember to check back tomorrow for the continuation of our series in the Gospel of John. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for joining us today for the weekday podcast. We would love to see you at Sugar Hill Church for one of our gatherings each Sunday at 9:30 and 11. And we are always streaming live at live.sugarhill.church. Again, thank you for joining us today. Please share these weekday podcasts with friends and family by tapping the share button. Have an awesome day.